Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Meir Turin. Maseches Sukkah has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Noach Stengel. Le'iloi Nishmas, Feivel Yosef ben Chaim Leib, and Yehuda Zev ben Feivel Yosef.
The Gemara Maseches Sukkah on the Daf Mem Tes is a hemshich from the Gemara on the Daf Mem Ches on the base on the bottom, where the Gemara told us a story with the Tzeduki, who one time was menasech the Nisach HaMayim on his feet, instead of pouring it into the Safel, into the bowl, because the Tzedukim did not agree to the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim. The Gemara tells us, the entire crowd pelted the Tzeduki with their Esregen. That day, the Gemara says, the Karen HaMizbeach, the horn of the Mizbeach, was Nifkam. They had to bring a thing of salt in order to close up the hole. The Gemara tells us, not because it's Kasher La'avayda, to perform the Avayda with a Mizbeach that's filled up with salt, but just as a cover of the Mizbeach should not be pugum, therefore they brought the salt. And Gemara tells us, but however, it was possible to use the Mizbeach at that point, because any Mizbeach which does not have a ramp, does not have a karen, does not have the yisayit or the rifuah, it's not squared, it's possible to be used for the avodah. Now the Gemara Masechtas Yuma, Daf Chaf Vav Amud Beis, brings down a member of Reb Abba, and some say Rami Bar Chama, and some say Reb Yochanan, who said that the din is ein menaschin mayim b'chag ela b'tamid shel shachar, that the proper time to perform the nisach hamayim on Sukkos is during the bringing of the tamid shel shachar. Reb Ashi says, I have a raya to this. We have a raya from the story of our Gemara. After all, it says in the Gemara, it says in our Mishnah, that they would tell the person who was performing the Nisach HaMayim to lift up his hands, because of this story that once happened, that one time, one person was Menasech Agabe Radlov, and everyone pelted the Esregim at him. So Gemara says, from here we see that the Nisach HaMayim took place during this man of the Talmud Shel Shachar. Rashi explains, where's the raya coming from? The raya is that it was not necessary for the Tana to tell us the items that were used for pelting the Tzeduki. Why did the Tana feel necessary to tell us they pelted him with a Esregen? It must be he was coming to tell us a Chiddush. It must be the Tana was coming to teach us that they pelted him with a Esregen. And obviously they had a Esregen in their hands. It must be because Nisach HaMayim is performed in the morning during the Talmud Shel Shachar at the very same time when we take Luv and Esrig, and that's Kufa what the Tana was coming to teach us. However, the Taisis Yeshanim is Mashma that he understood Kipshutai. The Raya of the Gemara is not from the fact that the Tana had no reason to tell us that they pelted him with Esregim, but rather the Raya is, we know in the morning is the time when we have a Luv and Esrig, and from the fact that the people had Esregim in their hands to pelt them with, it must be that the Nisach HaMayim was taking place during the Zman of the Talmud Shel Shachar. The Taisi Shanim, however, is bothered. Well, Chayra, what is the Raya? After all, we learned in the Gemara in Sukkah that Anshe Yerushalayim used to take Luv and Esrig the entire day. So perhaps the Anshe Yerushalayim were standing there was during the Talmud Shel Ben Arbayim. The Anshe Yerushalayim were holding their love and Esregen, and that's why they had Esregen to pelt them with. On that, the Taisi Shanim answers, the Anshe Yerushalayim and Stama would not have been there during the Zman of the Talmud Shel Ben Arbayim. It's not a Zman Tfila. Memela, Zot the Taisi Shanim, from the mere fact that people had a Esregen in their hands to pelt the Tzeduki with, from there is the raya that obviously this took place in the morning when people take Luv and Esreg, and therefore we see that Nisach HaMayim is during the Zman of the Talmud Shel Shachar. Now the Aruch Luner asks a very strong question on Rashi. Rashi says that the raya of the Gemara is from the fact that the Tana had no reason to tell us that the item that was used for the pelting was a Esregen, if not for the fact that the Tana was coming to teach us that Nisach HaMayim took place during the Talmud Shel Shachar. Frak Aruch Luner question. We have a Gemara Masechtas Kedushin, Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us a story with Reb Zera. The Reb Zera once darshin the Mechuza, in the city Mechuza in Bavel, and he taught the halacha that a ger is mutter b'mamzeres, a ger is mutter to marry a mamzeres. Mechuza happened to be a place with a lot of gerim, and the Gemara tells us, Ragumu kuli alma of Esregayu, all of them pelted Reb Zera with their Esregen. Zaktar Lener, according to Rashi, I don't understand. Why is it necessary over there to mention that they pelted him with Esregen? Obviously, you see from the Gemara in Kedushin that when the Gemara tells us a story, it just tells us the story the way it was, that it happened to be with Esraigim. If so, how could Rashi say that the Gemara in Yuma is Raya, that the Nisach HaMayim took place during the Talmud Shel Shachar, is because, or else, the Tana should not have told us that they threw Esraigim. It must be the Tana was coming to teach us that Nisach HaMayim takes place during this Zman of Talmud Shel Shachar. After all, we see from the Gemara in Kedushin that we mention Esraigim, even Stam, when it's telling over a story. Bishleim, but we can say, according to the Taisi Yishanim, that the Rai of the Gemara in Yuma is not from the fact that the Tana mentions Esraigim for no particular reason, but rather the Rai is that from the fact that the Metzias, people had Esraigim in their hands. People take a little of an Esrig in the morning. So you, from the story itself, you see that it took place during the Zman of the Talmud Shel Shachar. We have a riot that Nisach HaMayim takes place during the Zman of the Talmud Shel Shachar. But according to Rashi, that the riot is from the fact that the Tana mentions Esraigim. The question is, what type of riot is that? The Gemara Kedushin also mentions Esraigim in the story of Zerah. The Aruch Haner is Ma'ir another Shiloh. The Yishalmi over here, Masech Sukkah, says that the Tzeduki died. The Yishalmi just has a question. We learned in the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Yutes on Beis that the Tzedukim as well did not agree to the way the Keteris was supposed to be brought. We hold that the din is that the Keteris must be placed on the coals with Nei Hashem once the Kohen Gadol is ready in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He puts down the machta full of coals, and in the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, he sprinkles the Keteris on top of the coals. The Tzedukim argued, and the Tzedukim said that no, one first must place the Keteris on the coals outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then he enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim ki ba'anan eroa al kapayris. He enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim already with a cloud of smoke. The Gemara Masechtas Yuma teaches that there once was a Tzeduki who did it his way, and the Gemara says after many days he ended up dying and there were worms coming out of his nose. So the Yishalmi has a question. Were these two different Tzedukim? Was the Gemara Masechtas Yuma one Tzeduki and the story of Ar Sigi was a different Tzeduki? Or perhaps it was the same Tzeduki. He didn't die on Yom Kippur. Like the Gemara says, after a few days he died. And what the Gemara means is, on Sukkot, he went ahead and again tried to do the way the Tzedukim do by pouring the water on his feet, and then he was pelted with a Esraigim and he died. Zakhtar Lener, if the case is, if we see from the Gemara in Yuma, I'm sorry, that we see that the Tzeduki obviously died from the pelting of the Esraigim, the Aruch Haner says he has a hard time understanding it. First of all, he says it's a chiddush to say that these fruits were able to kill the Tzeduki. But more than that, after all, we see from the story in the Gemara in Kedushin with Reb Zerah, that Reb Zerah also was pelted with Esraigim. And one cannot say that he ended up dying there in Mechuza from the Esraigim that were pelted upon him, because the Gemara Masechtas Ma'ikatan and Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis says, when Reb Zerah died, the way they were maspid him was that he lived in Babel, then he came to Eretz Yisrael, and the mashmais of the Gemara Ma'ikatan is that Reb Zerah died in Eretz Yisrael. So obviously he had not died from the pelting of the Esraigim which took place in Babel in Mechuza. If so, Zakta Aruch Haner, I don't understand. What's the pshat over here that we say that the Tzeduki died? Zakta Aruch Haner, pshat is like this. Be'emeth is another shiloh. Rashi says, in Devar Amasul, Nifkema Karen HaMizbeach HaMemches HaMbeiz, Rashi says, Al Yedei Avonim Shezarku Bait. The way he died was through the stones that were thrown at the Tzeduki. L'chayra, Zakta Aruch Haner, where did Rashi take out that we're talking about stones over here? Our Gemara just mentions the throwing of a Esraigim. The Aruch Haner explains, Rashi understood this from two points. Number one, from the fact that Tzeduki died. Rashi held it couldn't be he died from the Esraigim. Like, you see, the Ezra didn't die from the pelting of the Esraigim. And more than that, the Gemara says that it was Nifgam Karen HaMizbeach. The Karen HaMizbeach was broken because of the Esraigim. Rashi held that it's hard to understand that it was broken from Esraigim being thrown. It must be that there were rocks thrown as well. Memelad Aruch Haner explains, Rashi Masechtas Yuma means to say like this. The Raya of the Gemara is not just from the mere fact that the Tana mentions Esraigim. Like we've shown, that the Gemara Kedushin also the Tana mentions the throwing of Esraigim. But the Raya is, if after all, there were not just Esraigim that were thrown at the Tzeduki, but there were stones thrown as well, So why would the Tana mention Dafka Esraigim and not about the stones? If anything, the stones were the things that damaged the Keren HaMizbeach. So why does the Tana choose B'Dafka to specify the fact that there was a Esraigim that were the things that were thrown? The Gemara in Yuma from there takes out, it must be the Tana is coming to teach us something. The Tana is coming to teach us that the Esraigim were thrown because Nisuch HaMayim takes place during the Zman of the Tamid Shel Shachar. Be'emes, the Ritzva Mesechtes Yuma over there in Chafavim and Beis brings down Rashi, that Rashi says that the Raya of the Gemara Mesechtes Yuma is from the fact that the Tana mentions the throwing of Esraigim. The Ritzva, however, is bothered. Perhaps the Tana was coming to tell us an entirely different Chiddush. Perhaps the Tana was coming to be Mechadish to us, to teach us a halacha, that one would have thought that it's not permissible to take an Esraig, a Dvar Mitzvah, and throw it at a Tzeduki, and ruining the Esraig in the process. Perhaps that's not a covet to the Mitzvah. So perhaps that's what the Tana was trying to teach us, by saying that they threw Esraigim. What's the Raya of the Gemara in Yuma from the fact that we mention Esraigim? It must be he was coming to tell us that Nitzach HaMayim takes place during this month of Tamid Shel Shachar. Perhaps the reason why he mentioned Esraigim was to tell us that it was not did not lack in the Kavod HaMitzvah for the people to throw their Esraigim at the Tzeduki. The Ritzvah answers that it can't be that that was the Tana's Chiddush, because that is a Dover Pashat. That is something which the Tana does not even have to teach us. The Ritzvah says, after all, Kevin Sheikiru Baishu Tzeduki, once they knew he was a Tzeduki, Zoe Kvaida Shal Esterig, that is the greatest honor to the Esterig, Lekadish by Hashem, to sanctify Hashem's name by throwing it on the Tzeduki. The Chashukei Chemed, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, brings down a story and he declares a Shaila based on the Chiddush over here of the Ritva. There was a story with a fellow, a chazan in the shul, who was up there and he began to say divrei apikarsis, began to say different things, heretical things. Someone in the crowd took a sitter, took a chumash, went running over to him and banged him over the head with the chumash. The question was he allowed to go ahead and use the chumash in such a fashion? After all, we see they used the esraigim, and the Ritva says, because that was considered a kavod of the esraig, in order to hit the tzeduki, who was someone who was an apikaris. The Chashukei Chemed says, perhaps we cannot bring a raya from the story of our Gemara to the case of the chumash or the siddur. When it comes to an esraig, it's tashmishei mitzvah. The Gemara Megillah teaches us tashmishei mitzvah nizrakin, something which is like an esraig, like a lulav. After the mitzvah is performed, there's an inyan to go ahead and use it to burn with the chametz. However, the halacha me'ikar adin, it's something which is allowed to be thrown out. However, tashmishei kedusha, or like something which has to be placed in shemus, like a chumash or a siddur, that's a higher level of kedusha. That cannot be thrown out. So Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein says, though we see from our Gemara that something which is tashmishei mitzvah was allowed to be used, and that's considered a kavod for the mitzvah, perhaps we cannot extend that to a case of using a chumash or using a sefer. Now the Gemara Masechet Yuma had proven from our Gemara that the Zman of the Nisach HaMayim takes place during the Tamid Shel Shachar. The Binyan Siyan in Simen Mem Gimel clears a Chakira. He asks the following question. How do we understand this, that Nisach HaMayim was brought during the Tamid Shel Shachar? There are two ways how to understand this. Either we can say that we know with the Tamid Shel Shachar came the Nisach HaYayin. Besides the Nisach HaYayin, during Sukkot, the Torah was Mechadish to us. That besides the Nisach HaYayin, together with Nisach HaYayin comes also the Nisach HaMayim. The Tamid Shel Shachar had two Nisachim, Nisach HaMayim and Nisach HaYayin. Or perhaps we can say that the Nisach HaMayim is an independent mitzvah. The same way there's a mitzvah of taking lulav and esrog on Sukkot, and like the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah teaches us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, during Sukkot, go ahead and pour water on the Mizbeach, do the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim, and in that tzchus, you'll have rainfall. So the Torah was mechadish to us. There's a mitzvah bifnei atzmai. There's a separate mitzvah of pouring the water al gavi Mizbeach. It so happens to be that the zman of that mitzvah, the time when that mitzvah is performed, is during the zman of the Tamid Shel Shachar. but perhaps it's considered a separate mitzvah. A nafkamina that the Binyan Siyan says between the two approaches is, what would be in a case where we do not have a Tamashil Shachar? If we understand that the Nisach HaMayim is a chelik of the carbon, the Tamashil Shachar, it's a chelik of the Nisachin, the same way the Tamashil Shachar is Nische Yayin, the Tamashil Shachar as well during Sukkot has Nische Mayim. If so, if there's no Tamashil Shachar, one would not be able to bring the Nisach HaMayim. However, if we understand that Nisach HaMayim on Sukkot is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmai, is a separate mitzvah, so even if one would not have the Tamashil Shachar, he would still have a mitzvah to go on the Mizbeach and just pour the Nisach HaMayim. Be'emes, we find in Taisus and Masechtas Tainus and Daf Beis and Mabeis, Divri Amasli, Bailu, Taisus in the very end writes the following. Taisus says that the Nisach during Chag was from water as well. And Taisus says one can even do the Nisach HaMayim the night before. The first night of Sukkot, one already could do the Nisach HaMayim on the Mizbeach. Taisus says, even though the Gemara Masechtas Yuma on the Chavav and Mabeis says that one cannot be Menasach Mayim B'Chag only during the Tamashil Shachar, Taisus just says that the Gemara just means to say that the cutoff point, when is the last time one can bring the Nisach HaMayim, that's by the Tamashil Shachar. One cannot wait till the Zman of the Tamashil Bein HaBayim. However, Taisus says, the Gemara does not mean to say that one cannot bring it earlier. And if one would want to bring it the night before, that is perfectly fine. The Gvuras Ari explains that even though we know that by Kachim, the night goes after the day. Therefore, how could one go ahead and bring the Nisach HaMayim the night before? And furthermore, one could bring a Raya. After all, there's a question over here. If the Nisach HaMayim is part of the Tamashil Shachar, how could it be brought the night before? It should have to be brought only after the Tamashil Shachar is brought. Zok de Gvura Sari, we see from this Taisvis that the Nisach HaMayim is not considered a chelik of the Tamashil Shachar, it's not considered the Nisachim of the Tamashil Shachar, but rather the Nisach HaMayim is considered a mitzvah b'fnei atzmai, and memela, it is able to be brought even the night before. Be'emes, we find that the Shittas HaRambam is as well like Shittas HaTaisvis. The Rambam in Hilchos Tmidin u'Musafin, Perek Yud Halacha Zayin, writes clearly, in Hiktam Nisach HaMayim l'Zavach, if someone brought the Nisach HaMayim before the actual Karban, Afilu Naschan Belayla Yatza, even if he brought it the night before, he is Yaitze. From the Rambam as well, we see it, the Rambam understands that Nisach HaMayim is considered a Chayvas HaYayim, a mitzvah of the day, but it's not an integral part of the Tamashil Shachar. The Mishnah L'Melech over there in Halacha Zayin writes, though Taisus and the Rambam agree on this point that if one brings the Nisach HaMayim the night before, he is Yaitze. However, there is a nafkamina between Taisus and the Rambam in one prat. According to Taisus and Masechtas Tainus, Taisus is mashma that even l'chatzchila, we have no problem with a person bringing the Tamin, bringing the Nisach HaMayim the night before, on the first night of Sukkot. However, the Rambam is mashma that it's only a b'di'evad. The Rambam says, im hiktim Nisach HaMayim l'zevach, afilu naslam b'layla yatsa. If someone happened to bring the Nisach HaMayim the night before, even before the Zevach, one still fulfills his obligation. From Tmashmet, the Rambam holds, chatchilo, however, the Mayim should be brought with the Tamashil Shachar. The Shita of the Ramban as well follows the Shita of the Rambam and Taisvis. The Ramban is brought down in the Ritva Mesech Lesukah and Af Mem Tesam Abayz. The Ramban writes that Nisach HaMayim is not considered Boy Mazevach. It is not considered as a chelik of the karma of the Tamashil Shachar. However, it's just considered a mitzvah b'fnei atzmai. However, the Meiri, Mesechtas Tainus and Daf Beis on the Beis, argues on Taisvis, the Rambam, and the Ramban. The Meiri writes clearly that Nisach HaMayim is not kosher the night before. The Meiri says because the Nisach HaMayim is considered Boim Mazavach, it's considered a chelik of the Tamashil Shachar, and therefore it's only kosher by Yayim. The Ritva in Mesechtas Sukkah and Daf Mem Tes on the Beis brings as well the Shittas HaRaivid, that the Raivid as well holds like the Meiri, that one is not allowed to be Menasech the Mayim on the Mizbeach the night before, because the din is that its Hakrava is together with the Tamashil Shachar. So it comes out that we have on our hands a Machlekes Rishonim. On the one hand, we have the Rambam, the Ramban, and Taisvis, who are all mashma, that Nisach HaMayim is considered a mitzvah b'fnei atzmai. Just like we take lieu of an Esrog on Sukkot, there's a special mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim on the Mizbeach, it's considered chayvas hayayim. And on the other hand, we have the Meiri and the Ravid who seem to hold that it's a chayvas hakarban. It's considered a chelek of the tamei shel shachar. And the nafkamina is, like we spoke out before, where someone would not have the tamei shel shachar. According to the Rambam, the Ramban and Taisvis that hold that it's a chayvas hayayim, one would still be able to bring the nisach hamayim by itself. However, according to the Meiri and the Ravid, that's considered Boim HaZelach, considered a chelik of the Tamei Shel Shachar, in such a case where one does not have a Tamei Shel Shachar, one would not be able to bring the Nisuch HaMayim. Now the Rambam in Perek Yud, Mehilchos Tmidin U'Musafin, writes that together with the Nisuch HaYayin, they would pour the water. Lacha Mishnah says, where did the Rambam get this halacha that the Nisuch HaYayin and Nisuch HaMayim took place at the very same time? Zakta Lacha Mishnah, the Raya is from the Mishnah in Sukkah on Daf Mem Ches Amid Aleph. The Mishnah in Sukkah teaches us that the Nisuch HaMayim and Nisuch HaYayin took place on the Keren Maravis Deraimis, on the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. And the Mishnah says that Shnei Safalim Shel Kesef Hayu. There were two bowls of silver, and there were holes in the bowls. One was a thicker hole, one was wider, and one was shorter, one was thinner. Why? In order that the wine and the water should end the same exact time. Well, the Mishnah says that from here the Rambam took out, why do they have to go and end the same time? We see that the din is that the Nisuch HaMayim and the Nisuch HaYayin were supposed to be performed at the very same moment. The Stipler Mesechus Menachos in Simen Ches is very bothered on this from this Mishnah. The disciple says, Bishleima, according to the Meiri and the Ravid, who say that Nisuch HaMayim is a chelik of the Nisachim of the Tamei Shel Shachar. If so, there's no concern over here of the din, Ein Eisim Mitzvahs Chavilais Chavilais. The halacha is, one is not allowed to perform mitzvahs Chavilais Chavilais like bundles. Like the Gemara Masechtas Saita explains in Daf Ches Amud Aleph, the din is, one is not allowed to be mashke shnei saitais ka'achas. A lady who is suspected of having relations with another man, and after it goes through what's prescribed in the Torah, the parsha of kinoy and stira, where the husband warns her not to go with another man, and if she goes and she's found, Adam come in and say she was caught in a room with another man, she's brought up to Yerushalayim, and we give her from the water to drink from the water of the saita. Now the Gemara over there says that let's say we have two saitas in the Beis HaMikdash at the same time, we cannot give them both to drink at the same shot. And the reason is because Ein Eisim Mitzvahs Chavilais Chavilais. By giving them, doing the mitzvah at the same shot, both mitzvahs at the same shot, is like as if you're not giving the proper respect to the mitzvah. It's as if it seems like a burden, and you're just doing everything at one shot in order to get the burden off you, to just get the mitzvah over with. So the Stipler says, I don't understand. According to the Meiri and the Ravid, that the Nisuch HaMayim and the Nisuch HaYayin were all part of one mitzvah. They were all the Nisachim of the Tamei Shel Shachar. And so you understand how they were able to be performed at the same shot. There is no issue of Ein Eisim Mitzvahs Chavilais Chavilais. However, according to the Rambam and the Ramban and Taisvis, who hold that Nisuch HaMayim was a separate mitzvah, it's a mitzvah which is Mechayves HaYayin, which has nothing to do with the Tamei Shel Shachar. If so, how are we allowed to go ahead and do the Nisuch HaMayim and the Nisuch HaYayin at the same exact time? Luchar, there should be concern of Ein Eisim Mitzvahs Chavilais Chavilais. And this is especially shver in the Sheet of the Rambam, because the Rambam himself goes that it's a chayvas hayayim. He goes that Nisuch HaMayim, he seems to go that Nisuch HaMayim is considered a mitzvah by itself, which is a mitzvah of the day. It's not considered a chelik of the Tamei Shel Shachar. And yet the very same Rambam paskins that the mayim and the yayim were done at the same exact shot. L'chayra should be a problem with Ein Eisim Mitzvahs Chavilais Chavilais. Why is it any different than what the din, that we are not allowed to go ahead and be mashke two saitas at the same exact time? Now, the Gemara in Saita says, according to Rashi, the Gemara says that when you have two different kehanim going ahead and giving the woman to drink at one shot, over there is no issue of Ein Eisim Mitzvahs Chavilais Chavilais, which comes in very negeah when there's a bris of twins. According to Rashi, if there's two different ma'alim who are going to go ahead and perform the bris, even if the bris is performed at the same time, but because there's a separate ma'al on each one of the babies, there is no problem, according to Rashi, of Ein Eisim Mitzvahs Chavilais chavilais, chavilais. According to Rashi as well, since when there are two kehanim, each one giving their saita to drink, there is no concern of enais to mitzvahs, chavilais, chavilais, because each one is totally focused on their mitzvah. According to Rashi, the concern of enais to mitzvahs, chavilais, chavilais is only if you line up two saitas next to each other, and you give one to drink, and give another to drink, and why then by a bris? If you line up both babies, and it's going to be 1 mil, and he does one bris, and then he does another bris, according to Rashi, that would be aser als ein aisimitzus chavilos chavilos. And in fact, the minhag is, when there's a bris of twins, they keep one of the babies out of the room, they first perform the bris on the one baby, then they bring in the other twin in order to avoid the problem that according to Rashi, there would be a concern of ein aisimitzus chavilos chavilos. So according to Rashi, wherever you have two kehanim, each one is performing one mitzvah, there is no issue of enai simitz chavilis chavilis, each one is focusing on his mitzvah. So according to Rashi, it's not shver, the Mishnah says that there was a nisach hayayin and there was a nisach hamayin, because each kayin, one did nisach hayayin, one did nisach hamayin, there's no concern of enai simitz chavilis chavilis. However, the shita of the Rambam is the exact opposite of Rashi. The shita of the Rambam is that when you have two kehanim and they're doing the mitzvah the very same shat, that is a problem of ein aisimitzus chavilais chavilais. And therefore the Rambam learns the Gemara in Saita, that when you have two kehanim, each one is giving the Saita to drink, and they're both giving their Saita to drink at the same exact time, there is a problem of ein aisimitzus chavilais chavilais. However, if there's one kayin, and he's first going to go ahead and give the first Saita to drink, and afterwards he's going to give the second Saita to drink, it's not happening at the same exact time, according to Rambam over there, there is no concern of aisimitzus chavilais chavilais. According to the Rambam as well, when it comes to a bris, so in a case where two milim would be performing the bris at the same time on the two babies, according to the Rambam, there would be a problem of ein aisimitzus chavilais chavilais. So now, according to the Rambam, that the Rambam holds, that even if you have one kayin doing one site and another kayin doing the other site, there is a problem of ein aisimitzus chavilis chavilis. So the disciples said they don't understand. So how come over here you had one kayin doing the nisach hamayim, the other kayin doing the nisach hayayin? It's clear from the Mishnah that it was happening in the exact same moment. It should be a problem, according to the Rambam, of ein aisimitzus chavilis chavilis. So Bishlama, we would say, not like the Rambam, that when we're talking about nisach hamayim and nisach hayayin, they're all part of the carbon of the Tamar Shel Shachar, they're all nisach and the Tamar Shel Shachar, it's all one mitzvah, so it would not be a problem, ein aisimitzus chavilis chavilis. However, according to the Rambam, that we've proven, that the Rambam holds and nisach hamayim is considered a separate mitzvah, so how is one allowed to go ahead and do that? It should be a problem of ein aisimitzus chavilis chavilis. Perhaps we can answer the Shitas HaRambam with Behektim, that which we find in the Tosefta Masechta Sukkah. The Tosefta Masechta Sukkah in Perek Gimel Alcha Zayin says the following: Mei Hachag Chayavin Alei Mishum Pigel. If someone is Mefagel in the Karban, the Hainu, that when he's doing one of the Dalet Avodas, he has a Machshava that he's going to perform the Avodah Chutz L'Zmanai after its prescribed time, or he's going to eat from the Karban Chutz L'Zmanai after its appointed time, the halacha is that the karban becomes pigel. The Tosafta teaches that during Sukkot, where there are nisachei hamayim brought as well, so the water as well is chayiv, if he eats it, he's chayiv for eating pigel. Now the Vilna Gaon is meichik this chelka, the Tosafta, this part of the Tosafta that says that the me'achag there's a chayiv pigel for. And the reason of the Vilna Gaon is because the Gemara Masechta Zvachim and Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph teaches us that Nesachim ain't chayavin alei mishum pigel. That Nesachim never become pigel, that there should be an iser and a chayiv if one goes ahead and eats the Nesachim. However, the Chazon Yecheskel brings down from the Chastei David, he wants to be Mekayim, the Girsa of the Tosefta. And he says we can explain the Tosefta according to the sheet of Remeir. Remeir's sheet is that the Nesachim that come together with the Karban, they do have the full halachas of pigel, and if someone is mefagel in the karban, the nesachim as well become pigel, and one is chayiv if he goes ahead and drinks those nesachim. The Chazon Yecheskel says, I still don't understand. I don't understand the Chastei David. Even if we'll say that Rameir Shita is generally that Nisachim that come with the carbon have it in Pigel, and that Tosefta, therefore, the Chasdei Dava wants to say goes according to Rameir, but Rameir Luchaira only said his halacha by regular Nisachim. However, over here we're talking about Mehachag, we're talking about the Nischei Hamayim. Luchaira, the Nischei Hamayim are not considered Boim Azevach, so if so, why would they become Pigel even according to Rameir? The Rebbeinu Soloveitchik explained the Tosefta in the following way. Rebbeinu Soloveitchik wanted to be mechadish, that even if we say the Nischei HaMayim are able to have a hakrava by themselves as Chayves HaYayim, for example, in a case where we don't have a Tamei Shel Shachar, perhaps one could still go ahead and bring the Nischei HaMayim because they're able to be brought as a mitzvah bifnei atzmam. However, Rebbeinu wanted to be mechadish, that when they are brought together with the karban, the Torah is mechadish, that the Nischei HaMayim have two ways to be brought. Either they can be brought as a mitzvah bifnei atzmai, they are a mitzvah by themselves as well, but on top of that, the Torah said that when that l'chatchila, they're supposed to be brought together with the Tamei Shel Shachar, because l'chatchila, they're supposed to be brought as a chelek of the Tamei Shel Shachar. According to Rebbeinu Soloveitchik, we understand that this that it says in the Gemara in Yuma that the time of Nisach HaMayim is during the Tamei Shel Shachar, the way he's understanding, we don't have to say necessarily that the Nisach HaMayim is only a Chayvas HaZevach, but not a separate mitzvah b'fnei atzmai. The way Rebbeinu is explaining to us, the Nisach HaMayim could be its separate mitzvah, it's able to be brought as a separate mitzvah, but the Torah also says that when you bring it with the Zevach, and perhaps l'chatchila that then is to bring it with the Zevach, it should be brought as a chelik of the Tamei Shel Shachar. According to Rebbeinu, we understand that the Rambam says, l'chatchila, the Mishnah Melech and the Dayak and the Rambam, that the Rambam argues with Taisus on one prat. Though the Rambam agrees to Taisus that if the Mayim is brought, the Nisach HaMayim is brought the night before, one fulfills his obligation. However, the Rambam is mashmits only a b'di'evid. L'chatchila, the din is to bring it together with the Tamei Shel Shachar. However, Taisus' shita was that even l'chatchila, one could bring it the night before. We could explain the machlokes here, Taisus and the Rambam, in the following way. According to Taisus, the Nisach HaMayim is strictly a mitzvah b'fnei atzmai. It is not a chelik of the Tamei Shel Shachar, and it cannot have a hakrava as a chelik of the Tamei Shel Shachar. Therefore, Taisus says, there's no reason, dafka, to bring it during the zman of the Tamei Shel Shachar. In l'chatchila, you could even bring it the night before. This that the Gemara in Yuma says that you can only be a menasuch by the Tamei Shel Shachar, Taisus explains, that's just the cutoff point. One cannot wait till the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im. The cutoff point is the Tamei Shel Shachar. However, the Rambam understands that though the Nisach HaMayim does have a component to it, that it could be brought as its own mitzvah. However, l'chatchila the din is that it should be brought together with the Tamei Shel Shachar, together with the Nischei Hayayin. So perhaps according to Rebbeinu's Yisoy, we can answer this stipulous question on the Rambam. Though the Rambam holds that the Nisach HaMayim could be brought as a mitzvah b'fnei atzmai l'chatchila, the Torah wants it that she brought as a chelik of the karmon. Therefore, the Rambam holds that when it is brought as a chelik of the karmon, there is no issue of einais and mitzvahs chavilais chavilais. When it's brought by itself, so then, yes, it is brought as a separate mitzvah. However, l'chatchila, the way the Torah wants it to be brought is as a chelik of the Tamei Shel Shachar. And therefore, when it's brought as a chelik of the Tamei Shel Shachar, there is no concern of einai semitzes chavilas chavilais, and hu adin, it can even become pigel, because when it's brought as a chelik of the Tamei Shel Shachar, it has that status of the nesachim of the Tamei Shel Shachar. The Gemara had said that that day, the keren ha-mizbeach was nifgam, the horn of the mizbeach was chipped, and therefore the Mizbeach was Nifsal. Taisus says that since the Karen of the Mizbeach was chipped, therefore it's commanded Leise, it's as if there is no Karen, and like we learned that if the Mizbeach is missing one of the kronos, one of the horns, the Mizbeach is pasul. How much is considered a chip, Zok Taisus, in order to pasul the Mizbeach? A chip even the size, a crack that a fingernail could get stuck in it, that's enough to pasul the Evan. Zok Taisus, where do we know this from? The Gemara Maseches Chulin and Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Rashi over there explains the reason is because it says by the Mizbeach that the Avonim have to be shleimais, they have to be complete, and therefore, even if there's just a chip that a fingernail could get snagged in it, that already is not considered that the Evan is shalim. What about the plaster? How much has to be missing from the plaster in order for the keren to be pasul. So on that, Tosfos says there's a machlekes tanoim. Rav Shimon ben Yochai and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. The Gemara in Chulin says that according to Rav Shimon ben Yochai, it has to be missing the amount of a tafach, of plaster, to make the keren pasul. And according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, it has to be missing the amount of a kazayas. Tosfos means the following. The Gemara in Masechta Zvachim and Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph explains. The way they made the Mizbeach was, first they brought a malvan, they brought a mold of four mechitzais, and they placed it on the ground. There was a mold that was 32 by 32 amos. Then they filled up that mold full with sid, plaster, stones, zephes, and they took away the mold, and then they had the bottom part of the Mizbeach. And so on and so forth, other parts of the Mizbeach, and so too, when they got up to the top of the Mizbeach, the Kranais, they brought a mold, which was an Amma by an Amma, four Mechitzais of wood, and they poured inside of it Sid, stones and Sid and plaster, and then they removed the mold, and there you had the Karen. So it comes out that the Karen was comprised of stones and Sid and plaster in between the different stones. Therefore, if the stone itself is Nifgam, gets a crack in it, so even if it's just the size that to Gedesha Tachra by Tzipayin, it's not smooth, and a fingernail could get snagged in there, that's enough to passel the Evan. What about the plaster that was in between the different stones? And that Nakuda, over there we have the Machlekes between Rav Shimon ben Yochai and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, whether a Tefach worth of plaster must be missing, or a Kazayas worth of plaster. However, we find a fascinating thing. Tosfos says that by the Mizbeach he understands why there should be a psul if the Mizbeach is missing part of it, because after all, by the Mizbeach it says Ha Mizbeach. It says the Mizbeach must be the way it's made, and there's a din by the Mizbeach that has to be ravua, it has to be perfectly squared, and therefore it's missing some of the plaster, it's not considered squared. However, by the Karen, Tosfos says, how do we know that there should be a psul revua when it comes to the Karen? So Tosfos says, perhaps we learn out the Karen from the Mizbeach. Now Tosfos points out that Rashi, when he explains over here that the Karen was Nifgam, Rashi is Mashma, that the Karen was comprised of one stone. Rashi's Lashon is, the Karen was Evan, Amma al Amma, the Karen was a stone, that was an Amma by an Amma, Berum Amma, by the height of an Amma. Tosfos is very bothered because after all the Gemara is Mashma, that the way they made the Karen as well was the same procedure the way they made the rest of the Mizbeach. They brought a mold with four mechitzas and they poured inside of it plaster and stones, and then they took away the mold and there you had the Karen. Rashi says that the Karen was one stone. Rashi over here is Mashma was one stone, which was an Amma by an Amma. Now the Maram explains Tosfos that Tosfos did not want to say that the psul was because the Karen itself, the stones of the Karen, were broken, were nifgam, through the throwing of the Esrogim. Because Zakta Maram, Tosfos understood, Bishleima, if the stones were thrown, that he understands that could have made a crack in the stone of the Karen, or stones that were chelik of the Karen. However, if over here just a Esrogim were thrown, which were soft, therefore, Tosfos is bothered. How could that go ahead and make a chip in a stone? It must be that the Esrogim did not make a chip in the stones that were part of the Karen, but rather it chipped away, it broke the plaster that was in between the stones, and therefore it was Nifsal. However, Rashi, who seems to learn by us, the way Tosfos understands Rashi, that the Karen was comprised of one stone, but as we could say that Rashi goes l'shitasei. We had explained previously from the Aruch Lener, that the Aruch Lener was medayik in Rashi. Rashi says, Nifgam Karen HaMizbeach, the Karen HaMizbeach was Nifgam, Ayle Avonim Shezarku Bay, through stones that were thrown at the Karen. The Aruch Lener said that, where did Rashi know this? After all, the Gemara just mentions Esrogim. The Aruch Lener had explained, because Rashi was bothered. How could Esrogim go ahead and make a crack in stones? So Rashi, Lashitasai, who holds that what the crack was in one stone, that was an Amma, the Karen was comprised of one stone, Amma by Amma. Rashi, therefore, was bothered. How could it be that it was cracked? Rashi, from there, took out, it must be that they had thrown stones. However, Tosfos, who understands that what they threw was only Asraigim. Therefore, according to Taisus, Taisus understands the only way they could have been paigim in the carrying of his bath was they must have knocked out some of the plaster that was in between the different stones that made up the carrying. And therefore, Taisus says it must be that there was plaster that was knocked out, and therefore he talks about the different sizes that the plaster had to have been knocked out. Taisus explains that besides the psul of pegima in the oven, on top of that, is also an issue that one cannot go ahead and rectify a pegima by sanding it down, by using barzel, by using metal. Because like it says in the Mishnah in Midas, that the Torah says there's a lav d'oraisa leisanef aleihem barzel. One cannot use iron to go ahead and cut and smooth down the stones. Like the Mishnah in Midas says, the Mizbeach was nivra laharich yom av shalad. The Mizbeach was nivra in order to prolong a person's life. And metal was created to be makatzer, it's used in weapons. Therefore, einai bedin sheyanef hamakatzer al hamayrach. It doesn't make sense that the makatzer, the thing that shortens a person's life, should be used on something which is there to prolong a person's life. At the end, Taisus is bothered. If so, how did they build him his bath? One cannot say that they went ahead and they used the shamir. We know the special worm that was used that was able to open up the stones of the Avni Eifai, because the Gemara Masechtas of Eizar Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis says that the stones of the Mizbeach that the Yavanim had made into an Avodah Zarah, though we had to be gainers them, we had to put them away and store them away. We cannot use them again in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, why couldn't we just get a guy to break the stones and be mevatel the Avodah Zarah? We know the halacha is a guy is able to be mevatel an Avodah Zarah. The Gemara himself of Avodah Zarah explains, because we need Avanim Shleimais. We need complete stones. Taisus said, I don't understand, what's the problem? Even if you need Avanim Shleimais, it can't be chipped, it can't be with a pegima. We have an Eitzah, bring the Shamir, and the Shamir will go ahead and smooth it out. Taisus says, Al Karchach, we see from the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, that though the Shamir was able to go ahead and make holes and eat away at different items, however, was not able to make the stone so complete that it should be totally smooth, that one would not be able to be chayger by sipirin, catch his nail in one of the crevices. Taisus says, if so, we have to understand, how do they find such smooth stones to be able to build a mizbeach? Taisus says it must be they took stones from the Nachal, from the river that we find in Chol HaYom, you find sometimes in the sea, you find stones that are Nivra Chalukais, that were created smooth from Sheshish Mei Bereshis, and those stones were the stones that they used in order to be Baina at the Beis HaMikdash, in order to be Baina the Mizbeach. The Rashash in Masechtas Midas in Perek Gimel Mishnah Dalid is Medayik in the Lashon HaMishnah over there. The Mishnah over there says, Avnei Mizbeach, when it comes to the stone of the Mizbeach, Pegima Paisales Bechol Davar. If there's a Pegima, if there's a crack, it becomes possible no matter what tashdi. You don't need dafka barzel to create a psul in the stone. But even if it's just nifgam through any type of instrument, it becomes possible. There are shash in the dike in the Mishnah, it's mashma in the Mishnah. Pegima paisel is bechol davar. Pegima becomes possible through any type of instrument touching the stone. It's mashma, however, that it has to be that it was nifgam through an instrument, through something. If, however, someone would find stones after Ashash underground where no one was ever there, and we know that it was like this from the beginning of creation, even though there's a pegima in the stone, it would be mashma to him. The Rashash says that such a stone would not be an issue of avanim shleimais, or lack of avanim shleimais, and one would be able to use that on top of the building of the mizbeach. Because of this, the Rashash is very bothered by Taisus. Taisus is bothered, how did they find stones perfectly smooth to use in the Mizbeach? If after all, we know a stone, even if it just has the smallest crevice, kechagiras tipirin, it already is not considered avonim shleimais. The Rashash says, I don't understand Taisus' problem. Perhaps they found stones that were nivra pegumim, though they were pagum, but they were found, they were always that way, and therefore there is no concern. However, Reb Shach defends the shita of Taisus. Reb Shach, in Avi Ezri and Perek Aleph Mehilchos Beis HaBechira Halacha Tes Zayin, writes that he says that he feels that the Rashash is incorrect, And he feels that it's pashit that Avanim Shleimais means Avanim Shleimais. Complete stones mean complete stones. And therefore, even if it was not nifgam through an instrument, but it was actually created that way, that is still not considered complete. And therefore, Tysus does have a good question. How could they find such smooth stones? Where Tysus has to answer, they found stones that were beneath the water. Pashas, one could say, according to Reb Shach, the Lashon of the Mishnah, it says, Pegimah Paisalus Bechol Davar, Pegimah becomes Nifsal through anything. The Gemara, the Mishnah is just saying, Orcha the Milsa, the normal thing is, the stone gets chipped, having come in contact with something else. But not that the Mishnah means to say, that the Psul of Evan Nifgam is only if it's Nifgam Aidei Davar Acher. The Gemara on the base teaches us, Darish Rava, Rabba Darshan, Maiduch Siv, what's the meaning of the Pasuk, Mayafu Pamayach bin Olam Bas Nadiv, how beautiful are your feet in the shoes, Bas Nadiv, the daughter of the one who is Nadiv his heart, how beautiful are the shoes and the feet of Klal Yisrael at the time when they come up to be Olam Regal. And Bas Nadiv, the daughter of the Nadiv, it refers to Avram Avinu, who we find was called Nadiv, like it says in the Pasuk, Nadive Amim Ne'esafu, those who donated from the nations have gathered, Amalekei Avraham, they are the nation of the God of Avram. And the Gemara's Medayik, what does it mean, Alekei Avram, and not Alekei Yitzchak and Yaakov? But the pshat is, in the pasuk is, that we're referring to Gerim, and Avram Avinu was the first one who was Megayer. Marsha is bothered. Bishlam, I understand the pasuk that refers to Nativei Amim Nesafu, about the different nations gathering together to come be Megayer and join the Jewish nation. I understand in that essence they were referred to as Bas Nadiv, the daughter of Avram Avinu. He was the first one to be Megayer. However, what does this have to do with Aliyah L'Regel? How come when it comes to Aliyah L'Regel, we darshin Mayavu Pamayach bin Olam Bas Nadiv, why is Klal Yisrael B'Dafka referred to as Bas Nadiv, the daughter of Avram Avinu? The Marsha explains, because Avram Avinu was also the first one to go to the Makam HaMikdash, when he brought Yitzhak Avinu for Akedas Yitzhak, who was performed on the Makam HaMikdash, Bahar Hashem Yiroeh. And therefore Avram Avinu was the first one to be Eilat to the Makam HaMikdash, and therefore it's appropriate to say, Mayafu Pa'amayach bin Oman, Klal Yisrael's Eil Regal. We refer back to the fact that Abbas Nadiv, they're the daughter of this Nadiv Avram Avinu, who was the first one as well to be Eil Regal. It's hard to understand the Marsha. This is that the Marsha says Avram Avinu was the first one to go up to the Makam HaMikdash. After all, the Rambam Perek Beis, Mehilchus Beis HaBechira, Halacha Aleph and Halacha Beis says the following, HaMizbeach Mikaymai Mechuvim B'Yaisar. The Mizbeach, its place, is very accurate. Eimishan Eisarim Kaymai La'ilm, there's a specific place where the Mizbeach must be placed, and one is never allowed to switch the Makam HaMizbeach. Messiah is beyond a call. The Rambam continues that we have in Messiah that in this very place where David, HaMelech, and Shlomo built the Mizbeach, that is the very same area where Noach went ahead and built the Mizbeach when he came out of the Teva and he brought Karbanis. It's the very same area in Makam HaMizbeach where Cain and Hevel brought their Karbanis. In that same area, Adam Arishan brought a Karban, and that's that same area where Akedas Yitzchak took place. If so, what does the Marsha mean that Avram Avinu was the first one to come to the Makam HaMikdash? After all, the Rambam says clearly, which comes from a Pirkei Derabbi Elazar, that not only Avram Avinu was makar over there, but even before Avram Avinu, you had Adam, you had Cain and Hevel and Noach. What does it mean Avraham Avinu was the first one to come to the Makam Mikdash? Well, we could explain the Marsha based on a Yisoid from Reb Baruch Soloveitchik. Reb Baruch Soloveitchik was Medayik the Rambam in Halacha Aleph. The Rambam, when it comes to all the other people who are Makriv in this Makam, the Rambam just writes, in this place, Noach was Makriv, Adam was Makriv, Cain and Hevel. However, when it comes to Yitzchak, the Rambam changes his language. And the Rambam writes, Uba Migdash Nekad Yitzchak. And in the Migdash, Yitzchak was Nekad. From here, Reb Baruch Soloveitchik was medayik that even though the other people were makriv in the Makam HaMikdash, however, it did not have halacha of hakravas migdash. It had a status like being makriv on a bama. Like we know that when there was no migdash, there was a din to be makriv on a bama. So by Noach and Adam Arishan and Cain and Hevel, all it had was a status of Hakravas Bama. One could bring a riot to this from the Gemara in Zvachim. The Gemara in Zvachim says that we learn out different halachas of Bama from Noach. From here we see as well that the Hakrava of Noach and the others had a din of Hakrava of a Bama. However, by Yitzchak Avinu, it was Nishtana, it was a special halacha, that Akedas Yitzchak had a din of Hakravas Migdash. According to this, Reb Berel explained the following question. How was Avraham Avinu going to go ahead and be Makriv Yitzchak? After all, we know that a Kain, once he becomes a Einin, once a relative passes away, he's not allowed to do the Hakrava. If so, after he would Shecht Yitzchak, he would be a Einin, and he would not be able to do the Hakrava. On that, Reb Berel Salvechik answered, if you're medayik in the Pirkei de Rabbi Lazar, the Pirkei de Rabbi Lazar says that Avraham Avinu was like a Kain Gadol. The din is, the Gemara Masechtas Yuma teaches us that a Kain Gadol is makriv einin. A Kain Gadol is able to bring a karban even if he's a einin. And therefore, Avraham Avinu had a status of a Kain Gadol, would be able to bring makriv Yitzchak Avinu. The Radal, however, in Pirkei de Rabbi Lazar asks, On the Pirkei de Rabbi Lazar, he doesn't understand. L'chara, we know that ain kahuna b'bama. There is no concept of kahuna when it comes to Obama. And if so, how could the Pirkei de Rabbi Lazar say that Avraham Avinu was like a Kain Gadol? According to where Beryl explained, it's very good. That ain chanami by Noach and Adam and the others, Kain and Hevel, it only had a status of Hakravas Bama. However, by Avraham Avinu, it even had a status of Hakravas Migdash. This fits in well as well with the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer in a tshuva writes that by other people who are makir karbanis that did not have kedushas migdash, Avraham Avinu, however, when he was makir, he was makadish the makim with the kedusha of migdash, and like it says that they will say b'har Hashem yiroyah, they will say that we b'har Hashem yiroyah, we will see on the mountain of Hashem. So we see that Avraham Avinu was mekadosh the makom and he gave it a din of kedushas migdash. According to this, we can now understand the words of the Marsha. The Marsha writes, the reason why those who are el lerego are referred to as bas nadav bita shel Avraham Avinu is because the first person to come up to the makom migdash was Avraham Avinu. And the question we had was, after all, it's Mavur and the Rambam and the Pirkei de Rabbi Lazar that there were people before Avraham Avinu, Adam, Noach, Cain and Hevel, according to what we're saying now, it fits in very beautifully. Ein Echanami, other people brought karbanis, but all the karbanis only had a status of Akravas Bama, and there was no Kedushas Migdash yet on that Makam. However, Avraham Avinu was the first one that he was Makadish to Makam, and now had Kedushas Migdash, and Avraham Avinu was therefore the first one to be Ayla to the Makam Migdash, and therefore Klal Yisrael is referred to as Bita Shal Avraham Avinu, Shenikra Nediv, because he was the first one to be come up to the Makam HaMikdash.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.